what the Bible has to say about the essentiality of studying God's Word. We're living in a day where information is more available to us about the Bible than ever before. Yet there has hardly ever been a more biblically illiterate society than the one that we are living in today. Quite literally, you can Google anything in the world and get some information, not necessarily true information, but some information about it. Or as we talked about several weeks ago, Brother Bill coined the term, you can Bible it, right? But you can look up anything you want online to learn anything you want about the Bible. Information is more readily available today to us as a society than really ever has been before in the history of the world. Yet a recent Lifeway study found that only 32% of people who claim to be Christians in America actually even read their Bibles every day. 32%. It's a very low number. The sad reality is that it's not just this lost world that doesn't know the Bible. It's us as believers. We don't know our Bibles because we do not study the Word of God the way that God tells us we are supposed to. And I identify with the prophet Hosea, who for his generation, he made a sad declaration. He said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the truth is, the society that we're in today is perishing because people just don't know God's word. And so we are witnessing in modern times the decline of a nation because of biblical illiteracy. We don't know our Bibles. Yes. Okay. Well, I'll give you...
Here's an extra.
He's got one for you right there. How about that? All right. There you go. But our nation is going to hell in a handbasket, and a lot of the reason is because we don't know our Bibles anymore. There was a time in our country's history where even in the public school systems, we taught the Bible. We taught basic morality, and those are principles upon which our country was founded and thrived on. And we're seeing the rise of so many evil things because of this biblical illiteracy. But it's important for us to understand it starts with us. If we don't know our Bibles, we can hardly wag our fingers at a lost world and say, why don't you know the Bible? It starts with us. We're the ones who should know the Bible. And by and large, Christians are illiterate when it comes to what the Bible says, even about the most basic of things. And so here's the premise of the study. It is both the privilege and the responsibility of every believer to study God's word. That's it. It's a privilege and it's a responsibility God has given every one of us to study the Bible. Now, in your notes, you'll notice 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are given a command here to study the Word of God. God does not just expect us to read the Bible. He expects us to know the Bible. The only way you can intimately come to know the Bible is by studying the Word of God. So a simple question that I want you to contemplate. Do you study your Bible? Now, I'm not talking about do you wake up and have devotions every day. That's important. We've talked about how essential that is earlier in an earlier study. But I'm asking you, do you have a time every week, maybe every day, where you take a few moments to study the Bible, to grow in your knowledge of the Scripture? God expects every believer to know how to get the answers he needs from God's Word to confront whatever circumstances they are facing. Now, a lot of times, the general idea among believers is, well, if I have a question about the Bible, I'll go ask the pastor. Now, I don't mind to answer questions, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't have all the answers. The Bible does. And you have just as much access to the Scriptures as I do. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later, about each one of our personal responsibility. But the point I'm trying to make is God has given each one of us the privilege and responsibility to study the Scriptures and find the answers for life. 1 Peter chapter number 3 verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer. How can you be ready to give an answer to people who ask you about the things that are happening in this day and time? By knowing your Bible. All right? That's how you can be ready to give an answer. Now, it didn't say be ready to give your opinion. It says be ready to give an answer. It's talking about being ready to give scriptural truth to whatever you're facing in your life. Now, to our text in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, this isn't in your notes, so you need to turn there. Nehemiah chapter number 8. We find here a wonderful example of what it looks like to properly study and present the truth of God's Word. And so we're going to read this text in its entirety. We might skip through some parts here. But Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses," and that was the copy of God's word that existed in that time, "which the Lord had commanded to Israel." Verse 2, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday." Y'all think I preach long. "Before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose." Why do we have pulpits in church? Well, it's scriptural, okay? He stood on a pulpit of wood. "And beside him stood several people, whose names I will not bore you with right now. Verse 5, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, on a platform." That's why we have platforms too, all right? "And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And several of these same individuals that we heard about earlier, the Bible says in verse number 7, at the end of the verse, these individuals caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8, "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." And there's so much in this text that we won't be able to talk about. But suffice it to say that in this text, we discover the biblical method for helping God's people come to understand God's word. In other words, we discover a biblical method for studying the Bible in the words that we just read. And so we're going to notice three biblical ways God instructs us to study the Bible here. The first one I want you to note down is observation. And I'm going to give you a definition for that. That is, you need to clarify what the Bible says. That's what I want you to write down. Clarify what the Bible says. Clarify. To make something clear. To make something known. To make something obvious. When you start to study the Bible, in other words, where do you start? Well, here's my proposition for you. Start with the Bible. And you have a question about something the Bible teaches, don't go to a man, don't go online, go to the Bible. Start with what the Bible actually says. Verse number 8 of our text, we find the Bible says, "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly." Now think what we can learn from the words we just read there. First off, it says they read the Bible. The word "read" comes from the Hebrew word para. It means to call out or to proclaim or to recite. They started reading the Bible first, all right, before they ever tried to understand the Bible. You've got to begin with the Bible. But the manner they read the Bible is important. They read distinctly, the Bible says. Distinctly. That word distinctly comes from the Hebrew word parash, and it means to clarify or to separate or to make distinct, all right? So when I talk about when it comes to Bible study, you've got to start with observation. You've got to start with clarifying or making clear what the Bible actually says. And so before you read what someone else has to say, before you have listened to a session or a sermon from somebody else about a particular thought or passage of Scripture, you yourself need to start with reading what the Bible actually says and let God speak to you first. That's where you begin with Bible study. And so when it comes to Bible study, you have to start with observation. Now, I don't have time to expound this as much as I'd like to, but there are four elements of observation that I'll bring out to you here, and all of these are seen in our text. How can you properly observe what a passage of Scripture is saying? Well, first off, this isn't in your notes. You can just write this down. You start with reading it, with personally reading it. Read what the Bible says, all right? They did that in verse 3. They read the law, all right? Then, next, observe it. As you're reading, you're observing. You're looking. What does that word mean? I've never heard that word. All right? And you start asking questions. The questions I like to ask as I'm observing the Bible are the five W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. All right? I'll say it again. Who, what, when, where, and why. You come to a passage of Scripture and you honestly ask all those questions, you begin to learn some things. Now, here's what I find. Sometimes my observations are wrong. Sometimes, as I'm seeking to understand a passage of Scripture, I think the Bible's saying something. When I study it a little bit deeper, I find out my observations weren't correct. All right? But this is where you have to start. You have to start with a passage of Scripture trying to grasp what God is saying in a particular passage of Scripture. So read it. Then observe it. Then the third element of observation is listen to it. Listen to it. Now, a lot of times I like to actually go, and a lot of times most of us have smartphones nowadays. You can actually go on your phone and you can push a button and they'll read the Scripture to you. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Perhaps even listen to someone else teach on a particular subject. It helps you get a little bit of more of a grasp of what's being taught. So read it, observe it, listen to it, and the fourth element of observation is to revere it. To revere it. In other words, let it speak to your heart. And this is so important. I want you guys to understand this. So with so much Bible study, this is what's lacking. We go to study the Bible merely for information and not to let God speak to our hearts. But the goal of getting into the Bible is to let God commune with our souls. That's really the goal. And so that's very important for us to get down. And so as you're taking this first step of observation, you're just reading the Scripture, letting God speak to your heart. You're making observations as God is showing you things from the Bible. You're defining words. All of those things become very important. And I've explained this to many of you before, but I want to pass something out to you here real quick. Actually, Brother Payne, would you mind to help me with this? As we keep going here, when I sat down to study any particular passage of Scripture, I've given you a copy of when I studied Matthew 16 for last year's theme. This is the observation phase. And what I like to do personally is I like to write the Scripture out myself by hand or on a computer. And then I'll underline words that I'm not sure exactly what they mean. And I'll get out a Strong's Concordance or some kind of lexicon and go look up the definitions of those words and make sure I really understand what those words mean. And I'll write those words down with their definitions. And then once I've written out the Scripture, I've read it, I've written it out, I've defined words, I wasn't sure what they meant, in the center column, I'll write a personal commentary on what this passage is saying to me. I'm just taking time to try to observe, what is God saying here? So again, the column all the way to the left is just writing out what the Bible says. In the middle column, it is a personal commentary of what God is saying to me through this passage. And then on the far right side is just defining words and making sure I'm understanding the words in the context of what they're saying. All of this is involved in the process of observation. Now, I'm not saying this is the only way to study the Bible, but I'm giving you a personal example of how I go through the process of observing a passage of Scripture and trying to really get down what the Bible is actually saying. Here's the important thing every one of you need to understand. The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher, right? You do not have to have a man or a woman stand up and expound to you the scripture. You have the best teacher in all the world living in your heart. In John chapter 16 and verse number 13, Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And I believe this with all of my heart, that God has given every believer all the resources they need to be able to discover the truth that is in God's word. And that is because he has given us the teacher that is his Holy Spirit. Now, there is not a man alive, regardless of how much education he has, that has a monopoly on the truth of God's word. By the way, if you go to a place and a guy says, well, you're not going to learn unless you hear this from me, be careful of that guy, okay? Because the Holy Spirit can teach every man, every woman, the truth of God's word. And all of us have the ability. 1 Peter 1:20 says that the Bible is not subjected to private interpretation. In other words, if somebody tries to come to you and says, well, I found a secret truth in the Bible, nobody's ever seen this before, it's probably not true, okay? In fact, I'd say it's definitely not true. Because we don't get to bring our own interpretations to the Bible. The Bible says what it says, and we need to get in line with what it says. All right, so start with this process of observation. Now, it's biblical to hear God's word taught and preached, but don't stop there. You need to search the scriptures for yourself to see whether what is being declared is actually God's word or not. Jesus said in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that which testify of me. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the church at Berea was commended because, unlike other churches, they would hear the preaching of God's word and teaching of God's word, and then they would go home and search the scriptures daily to make sure that those things were so. And that's the way that we should be as believers. And that's being a healthy Christian, all right? Being willing to say, well, the preacher said this, but what does the Bible say? Let's make sure that's what the Bible says, all right? And that's the way that we should be. And so when it comes to studying the Bible, you've got to start with observation. You start with the scriptures themselves and let God speak to you personally through his word. Here's the second step. You start with observation, and then you move to interpretation. And here is the definition I want you to write down for interpretation. You need to conclude what the Bible says. Conclude what the Bible says. That is, make sense of what the Bible says. Going back to verse 8 of our text. In verse number 8, this is what the Bible says. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. And the next phrase says that they gave what? They gave the sense. Bible study doesn't stop with reading. You must make sense out of what you're reading. And of course, the Holy Spirit's the one that helps make sense of what the Scripture says. But if you're truly going to study the Bible, it's not just reading it and saying, I have no idea what that says. Okay? It's reading it, observing it, and then doing the hard work of getting your mind wrapped around what the Bible is actually saying. Now, the phrase gave the sense here, it essentially means to make it understandable. And you must seek to understand to whom the Bible was written and why it was written. There's a name for this, hermeneutics. How many of you ever heard the word hermeneutics before? Hermeneutics talks about the biblical interpretation of the Scripture. And that's what we're talking about here. When it comes to Bible study, we want to interpret the Bible for what it actually says. A wise preacher who I respect greatly, he taught me this. He said, all the Bible was written for me, but not necessarily to me. All the Bible was written for me. Everything in there is profitable for our lives as believers, but not everything in the Bible was necessarily written to me. And if you truly want to understand what the Bible actually says, you must let the Bible speak for itself by what it means. And that's where biblical hermeneutics becomes very, very important. I can put it this way. There are many applications to the Scripture, but there is only ever one interpretation of the Scripture. Many ways that it could speak to your life. There's only one way that God meant for it to be written. And when it comes to studying the Bible, we don't want to read our own preconceived notions. We don't want to read our own opinions. We don't want to read our own ideology into the Bible. We want to let the Bible form our opinions. We want to let the Bible form the way that we look at everything else in our lives. And hey, how often have you heard teaching or preaching and God corrected your faulty thinking? You thought, well, I always thought that it was, but this is what the Bible says. And it changes your mind. That's what should happen constantly as you study the Bible. You're allowing the Bible to change your mind instead of trying to use your mind to change what the Bible means. Does that make sense? That's what biblical interpretation should look like, all right? So when it comes to biblical hermeneutics, there are three words that are very important. You need to interpret the Bible literally, grammatically, and historically. Literally, grammatically, and historically. In other words, you're not trying to read ideas into the Bible. You're taking the Bible for what it says. Literal. Grammatical. You're looking at the phrasing, the wording, all right? Even the grammar of the scriptures and allowing that to help you understand what the Bible's saying. And then you're interpreting the Bible historically. There's a lot of things today that weren't true back in New Testament times or Old Testament times. You've got to look at what the scripture's saying in its historical context in order to have a proper understanding about what the Bible is actually saying. Now, most bad teaching and belief systems come from faulty interpretation. Anytime somebody gets up and tries to teach something, and boy, it's heretical, it's always coming from faulty interpretation. And the truth of the matter is, you can read something into the Bible if you want to. One of the things that a certain camp likes to read in the Bible is baptizing babies. I always found that really interesting. You will never find one reference or example in the Bible of baptizing babies. But they cherry-pick verses out of the Bible, and they read it in there. And they say, well, this is what it says, but this is what it means. It's not a literal interpretation of the Scripture. And by the way, you could just about take anything in the Bible that you want to and justify whatever you want to believe if you interpret the Bible that way. We need to let the Bible tell us what we should believe. I'll tell you a story of myself. I remember when I was a young preacher. I wasn't even graduated from Bible college yet. I was asked to go preach down at a small struggling church in L.A. And while I was down there, I was preaching on the story of Gideon. And I'd prepared hard for this message, and I'd gotten everything ready. And I remember I preached really hard on the story of Gideon. And I preached that the ones that God chose to be in his 300-man army were the ones that they took the time to cup their hands in the water and drink the water from their hands. And boy, I preached really hard on how we need to be proper for the Lord. We need to show respect for the Lord. And I was going hard on all these things and waxing eloquent. And after the sermon, my friends came up to me and said, great sermon. Not true, but great sermon. And I realized I looked at the Bible wrong. It was the guys who got down in the water and lapped it up like dogs. Those are the ones that God chose. And you can bring out all kinds of applications from the scripture, and you can make all kinds of interpretations, but you've got to be ever so careful to make sure you're preaching what the Bible actually says, that you're believing what the Bible actually says. And I've been there more times than probably what I'd like to admit, but it can happen to any of us. And when it comes to studying the Bible, we need to be careful to interpret it as God intended for it to be meant. Otherwise, we'll get off into faulty interpretation and believing the wrong things. Now, my personal experience is that the text becomes so much more rich in its application to my life when I take the time to let God teach me what He is trying to say through a passage of Scripture. Through the years, I've often had people say to me, I just can't seem to get anything out of the Bible. I don't understand how you could take a passage of Scripture like that and get so much out of it. I haven't been gifted that way. I can't do that. I say that's a faulty conclusion. You have the Spirit of God just as much as I do. And if you'd be willing to start studying your Bible and do the work, you can also get out of the Bible all the rich truth that exists there. But the reason why most people struggle with discovering the truth of God's word is because it's hard work. Don't misunderstand anything I'm saying here. It is not easy, but it's worth it. It takes work to dig out, mine out the truth that exists for us in God's word. And all the forces of evil are opposed to us learning the truth of God's word or becoming grounded as believers. And so Satan will offer all the kinds of distractions that there can possibly be to keep us from discovering the truth of God's word. But it is a worthy work. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In that verse, the word study, it means to exert yourself. That's literally what it means. And the Bible refers to the person who studies the Bible as being a workman, being a laborer. The point is, it's hard work to study the Bible, but it's a worthy work. And it's something that every one of us ought to be involved in. Now, it's one thing for you to hear someone else tell you the truth of God, but it's quite another thing for you to be able to do it for yourself. And I always compare it to the illustration given in Hebrews chapter 5. A young Christian, a baby believer, they need the milk. They need to be fed the truth, in other words, right? But a mature believer, as you grow as a believer, you ought to get to a place where not only can you feed yourself, but you can go into the Bible and cook up your own meal too and get something from God without somebody else having to prepare it for you and feed it to you. That's mature Christianity. That's the place that all of us should come to, being able to study the scriptures and stand on our own two feet spiritually when it comes to these things. So when I study the Bible, I always start with observation. I try to clarify what the text is saying. Then I move to interpretation. And at this stage, it gets really fun because I have allowed God to speak to me through the passage, and I've tried to wrap my mind around what I believe God is saying in the text. But then when you come to the stage of observation, you're going a little bit deeper. Now you're asking some difficult questions. Now you might pull out what I like to call my dead friends, okay? You say, your dead friends? What are dead friends? My commentaries, okay? I like to pull out a commentary and say, well, what does Matthew Henry have to say about this? What does John Phillips have to say about this? What does Warren Wiersbe have to say about this? Now understand, those commentaries aren't inspired by God. Sometimes they get it dead wrong. And I do too sometimes, all right? But their study and their looking into the truth of Scripture helps enlighten mine as well. And that's what's happening during this step of observation. You're trying to make sure you understand what the text says in the context that it was given. That's interpretation. So we see observation, interpretation, and the final step I want you to write down is application. Application. All right, now here's the definition I want you to write down. You need to correlate what the Bible says. Correlate or make practical what the Bible says. Look at the end of verse number 8, and we'll be done with our study today. We're very close. At the end of verse 8, after they had read in the book and gave the sense, at the end of the verse it says, they caused them to understand the reading. Ezra helped the people understand how to apply God's word. That's essentially what's being spoken there. That cause to understand literally means to discern or to regard. In other words, he was not just trying to help them mentally understand what was being read, but he was spiritually trying to help them understand how they could practice what they had just heard from the Bible, right? He was making it practical, or like we like to say, he was putting it into shoe leather. Now, this is important. We don't study the Bible primarily for information, but for application. That's always the goal of Bible study. It's not just to fill our heads with a bunch of knowledge. It's to allow that knowledge of the Word of God to help us grow as believers in some capacity. The end goal of Bible study is to bring the truth home, to put it in to a personal practice in our lives. And by the way, that was Ezra's approach to the Scripture. In your notes, there's a verse written there, Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. In other words, to study the Scriptures and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra had decided, whenever I approach the study of God's word, whatever God shows me, I'm going to do it. Now that's a powerful decision. That's an incredible decision of faith. Can you honestly say that you've made the decision that whatever God's word says, I'm going to do it? The Bible tells us it this way in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We ought to decide when we go to approach God's word on any particular subject, whatever God shows us, we're going to put it into practice. That is the ultimate goal of studying the scripture. And understand this, all the Bible is profitable for your life. Everything that you read, everything that you study in God's word, it has some kind of profit for your life. You say, how do you know that? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given you every word in this Bible, and every word is profitable in some way to your life. Though, case in point, you're never going to study a passage of scripture that can't have some kind of impact on your life today. It amazes me, as we've studied, we've marched through books of the Bible, even some passages of scripture. We went through like genealogies even. I've approached them and I thought, oh boy, what in the world does God have for us here? But every time I sit down to study a passage of scripture, there are always rich applications. So there's always something for my life today. And that is always true of Bible study, because the Bible is a living book. These words were written thousands of years ago, but they're still just as alive and relevant to our lives today as when they were first written. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of your heart. And God's word is powerful. And God has told us the immense importance of studying the scriptures. And so in this biblically illiterate society we are living in, it is a privilege and responsibility, the duty of every believer to study God's word. So my challenge to you is to study it, learn it, so that you can stand for it, so that you can defend it, so that you can speak it to people who need the truth of God's word spoken to their lives, and ultimately study God's word so you can do it, so you can do what it says. That's why we study the Bible. Do you have a regular time you study your Bible? Listen, at our church, this is one of the reasons we have small groups. This is one of the reasons that we have the Wednesday night gathering or Wednesday morning gathering like this. This is the reason I'm trying to put resources into your hand like this to ask you questions and say, hey, go look in your Bible for yourself and study it out. Look for answers, right? This isn't just religious stuff that we're supposed to do. This is one of the essential parts of the Christian life. It's not just you coming and hearing me teach my study of the Bible, but you studying your Bible. It's something all of us need to be involved in as believers. And so my challenge to you is, if you haven't been making studying your Bible a priority in your life, it's so essential, and let's get back to it. All right?